Well, good morning, and welcome to worship here at Grace United Church in Peterborough, Ontario. We are so glad that you've come to worship with us this morning through this gift of technology, a gift that enables us, even in this time of social distancing, to gather together, to experience a sense of unity and connectedness as we worship God. My name is Susan Sweet-Lebeau, and I am an associate lay minister here at Grace, and I am happy to be here to worship with you this morning and to share with you some thoughts about the Spirit within your story. So let's begin. Sharing the service this morning is Glenda Jopling, and I'm going to invite Glenda now to come and light the Christ candle for us. Each week, we light this Christ candle to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, and that with him we can make it through any darkness. This light shines now and throughout our service, as we know we are never alone, and that we are united as one in Christ. We're going to begin with our call to worship. I will read the parts in black, and Glenda is going to read and lead you in the parts marked in red. We gather in spirit today, longing for the love of community and the presence of God with us.
The presence of our God, the Alpha and the Omega, through whom we live and have our being.
Today, we are reminded that we never walk alone, and the love of community can break down the barriers we face during these challenging times.
Our triune God is with us and within us, sharing our entire journey.
May we know and feel the presence of the Spirit guiding us this hour.
As Easter people,
may the life of Jesus live on in us. And I'm going to invite now Glenda to lead us in opening prayer.
Let's pray. Ever-present God, we join together in worship today in a way that is so different from what we are used to. Yet we know you are with each of us, where we are. The time we are facing in the world today, a time of isolation and worry, makes us anxious and afraid. We have each our own reasons for sharing in worship today, and we each have our own journeys we are walking, each with our own story. Help us and enable us to move boldly into each day while being thankful for your love, grace, and comfort, and fulfilling the hope of love that Jesus taught us. In your Holy Son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, our first hymn this morning is a great hymn that reminds us that each day is a new day, and each morning is something to be thankful for. We'll join now in hymn 409, Morning Has Broken, and the words are on the screen.
Thank you.
like to take this opportunity to speak to the children of all ages who are with us today. These last couple of months have been quite different for everyone. I'm sure it's been a wonderful time to spend with your family in your home, but I'm sure you miss your friends, your grandparents, maybe your aunts and uncles. Maybe even you miss your school and your teachers. Maybe you miss a sports team or a club. And missing these people and doing these things normally that we do can certainly be hard not to. And a way to get through this time, these happy and sad times, is to keep a diary. Now, keeping a diary or journaling can help you think about your happy moments, your sad moments, things that you're scared about, things that you're thankful for, and a way of sharing your thoughts and feelings, a way that might make it just a little easier. And there are different ways of keeping a diary or a journal. Some people like to write, others don't like to write. So you could draw, you could paint, you could even make a scrapbook using pictures that you already have. And you can even keep a diary on your iPads or tablets. There's lots of ways that you can keep a diary, and there's lots of reasons to, because everything you're living through at this time is part of your life story, and it makes it easier to be able to share. Bless you. Well, now we are going to venture over to the COVID prayer wall. Well, our COVID prayer wall keeps growing, and that's a wonderful and inspiring thing. So let's take a look at some stuff that is new. And you know, this is a way for the people of our congregation to come together and to support our community and the many who are struggling during this challenging time, and also for all the frontline workers that are helping people everywhere. A couple of the new things include this beautiful rock that was given to us from Jordy. Some of the other new items include this beautiful picture that speaks about Revelation 3:20. This came from the Jenkins family, and I love it here where it says, "Help us to remember that we still have beauty around us, the love of our family and friends, and the support of many, many people that we'll never know." We also have this lovely acrostic from Marilyn, and the C for coronavirus stands for "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you," which comes from 1 Peter 5:7. And the R in virus, I love this one, it says, "Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice," because through all this, it's important to still rejoice in the Lord. The last item I'd like to share is a new one, and it's been dropped off anonymously, so thank you. And I love this part. It says, "The hugs and kisses and arms around, oh, how I miss their touch. But then I feel the warm embrace from somewhere deep within, and know that I am not alone, like I thought that I had been." These are wonderful things to bring to us and to share, and we thank you for all of that. So I encourage you to keep bringing in your writings, your prayers, your rocks, your crafts, as they will help us get through this time of COVID-19 in a healthy way, and being mindful and thankful for the many blessings we receive each day. So thank you. Well, we're very blessed here at Grace, as we have many talented people, and within those talents lies a gift for writing songs. This song that we sing in our contemporary worship is written by Reverend Lyle and Tony, our worship band leader. I think it really makes you think about the times we are living in at the present. So join in from home if you know it, and if you don't know it, please join in when you pick it up. It's easy and it's comfortable. The words are on the screen, and I pray that you let these words resonate in your mind as we sing A Force in My Life. Scripture readings today, and Glenda is going to come and share two of them. Our first reading comes from Acts 17, 22 to 31. This scripture recounts Paul's sermon to the people of Athens, where he talks about the unknown God. He explains the one true God to these men, who, although are very religious, did not know God, nor understand having faith in Christ. And the second reading comes from 1 Peter 3, 13 to 22. Here, Peter presses upon all Christians that they are to seek to live good lives. He understands that good is rare in the world, that doing good is not always received well. But even so, it is better to suffer and do good than to avoid suffering by refusing to do good.
I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship is something unknown. I'm going to proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of you or your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given us proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." And from 1 Peter, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer in everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God awaited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you to resurrection of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Amen."
Well, our gospel reading this morning comes from John 14, 15 to 21. This scripture comes from a time that Jesus spent in the upper room with his disciples. It was his teaching time, just hours before his suffering would begin. At that time, Jesus announced that he was going away from them, and one of his main topics involved the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's work in the lives of believers. We read this: "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Here ends the reading of the word for this day. Well, as I mentioned, we have many talented people here at Grace. This morning we have a wonderful opportunity to listen to a song titled My Tribute, sung by Deb Passmore as she is accompanied by our awesome pianist and organist, Paul Tessier. I'll now invite Glenda to come forward and lead us in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning with thanks for your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace. You never turn us away, and you never fail us. In these difficult times, help us to seek you first and let the other things fall into place. We pray to you for calm and clarity. As we enter into another phase of this pandemic, where parks are opening, people are back to some sports and outdoor activities, stores are opening, we ask you to guide us through and keep us from falling into old habits. Bring calm and safety to businesses, schools, and neighborhoods as we look to being a little bit more together than we have been in months. The news is confusing, and we know that the world is just trying to solve this virus puzzle as best it can. Bless all who work to find a solution, those who work to help the ones that are ill, those who are in need, those who volunteer, and those on the front lines of helping. Keep us vigilant in order to protect the most vulnerable. We pray for those still deeply affected by the virus, that they will know your strength and care. And we pray that changes will be made to the way we support the elderly and the infirm. Please help us to learn from our mistakes and to continue to guide our government to ensure their safety and respect. We pray for our church, our minister, and board of management who are doing all that they can to keep this congregation vital and connected during the long days of separation. Help us to continue to be a church that supports and reaches out into the community of Peterborough however we can at this time. Help us to know how to support and help in effective ways that will make a difference. And may the Spirit of Christ be seen in us even while we're not visibly together as a faith family. Loving Creator, you know each one of us and understand the cares, the burdens, the hurts, the problems, and the perplexities that are within us. We pray for many different kinds of physical needs, financial needs, emotional needs. We pray for health practitioners that they be guided by your steady hand and that they are using the gifts they have in order to help bring healing, physical and emotional. And we pray for their emotional support during this time when they are often the only ones allowed to be present with those who are isolated, ill, and alone. We pray for those that have lost loved ones recently and others that still feel their loss keenly as time passes on. We pray for the comfort of your Holy Spirit that they find in you their source of strength and the courage to go on. Help us to trust in you even when we can't see, because with our hand in yours, we'll make it through. So we each reach out to you, and we know that you're already reaching out to us. Thanks for being with us, even when we might feel like we're walking alone. We lift up our silent prayers to you for your individual touch and the assurance that you are with us, that you know and you care. We pray for children and youth. Their goals and values and their futures are being determined largely during this critical time. They face pressures and temptations every day, and so we pray that they will be strong and they will be faithful to you. We lift up to you the children everywhere, praying for those who are alone and needing help and care, for those who have lost family, for those who live in horrible circumstances, for those who are trying to make a better life with very little, for those who are abused or abandoned. We thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have seized as a church to support the children of Honduras and the children and families in our own community. We pray that you show us now new ways to continue to be that support and that hope for those in dire need. We pray for our community today and thank you for the privilege of living here. We acknowledge that we are blessed beyond measure and we give you thanks. When we contemplate the events taking place in the world, we pray for our Prime Minister and those in our national government that face difficult decisions every day. We pray that they receive your divine wisdom and the ability to lead justly and wisely. Help us, God, not to be forgetful or even unaware of the blessings we enjoy here in Canada. Lord, we ask you to bring things into our lives that will make us draw closer to you and make us more aware of you. You are present in the everyday, the isolation and the mundane, and also in the extraordinary unfolding of spring, the amazing gifts of nature, the love and laughter we can share even in the worst of times. That's where you are. Save us from just being matter of fact. You are with us. Draw us closer to you. Encourage and uplift us through the hope and promise of our faith. We pray in the name of Jesus, who shows us the way, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, let's join now in our second hymn, a wonderful song of the Christian faith that simply reminds us that we are loved. It's hymn number 365 in Voices United, and it's entitled, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for I love you.
Well, today we continue journeying through the Easter season, and soon we will reach the day of Pentecost. And as you have heard in the scripture, Jesus is sharing with his disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to share some thoughts with you around the Spirit within your story. People's stories are big dollar business in the world today. There are autobiographies and biographies about all kinds of people, from historical figures to celebrities to sports heroes and even the people behind crimes and scandals. These stories are told through all forms of media, books, songs, and movies. And there's even a television channel that's dedicated to telling someone's story. I could look on my bookshelf at home and on one shelf probably find half a dozen biographies. But the question is this: why? Why are we drawn to these stories? I think it's because we find faith, personal interest items. We find understanding and excitement, passion, intrigue, motivation, inspiration, and certainly entertainment. Inspiration. One Canadian whose story filled and continues to fill us with inspiration is Terry Fox and his Marathon of Hope. Terry inspired Canadians with his strength, with his perseverance, and with his courage to chase his dream. It was a marathon of hope. A couple years later, Rick Hansen, a friend of Terry's, set out on his Man in Motion tour. That tour inspired people all around the world to believe in themselves and to believe that anything is possible. But is that where the inspiration of these men ended? I don't think so. You see, this Friday marks the 33rd anniversary of the end of the Man in Motion tour. And that tour inspired people's awareness and changes in their attitudes. And it even spurred changes in our accessibility measures in our communities. And this September, we celebrate the 40th anniversary of the final day of Terry's Marathon of Hope. A marathon that still, 40 years later, it still impacts school children as they honor his story. These men were considered difference makers in our country and in our world. Why? Because they made a difference. They made a difference in more than just visual ways, more than just being seen in the media as they traveled their respective routes in all kinds of weather. They gave inspiration. Through their stories, we celebrate their dream, their struggle, and their victory. Three things we all experience in our own lives at some point, and certainly in some situation. Difference makers are people just like you and I. And who says that your story won't inspire millions, thousands, hundreds, tens, or even just one? I encourage you not to underestimate your story, because it too can inspire people and make a difference in lives. And as believers, our story isn't our own. We have the greatest gift ever, an amazing gift. We have the difference maker within us, the Holy Spirit. A promise was made that after Jesus had gone, that the Spirit of God would come to care for and to guide the advocate, our comforter, our wonderful counselor, our teacher, our strengthener, the Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Spirit makes a difference in the world and in the lives of all believers. You see, we read in verse 16 as Jesus says, "And I will ask God, and God will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Not coming, not leaving, not saying the job's done, it's time to go. There's no timer ticking telling us that time is up or telling the spirit that they must leave, but to be with us forever. And verse 17 tells us, you know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you, and the Spirit will be in you. The Spirit is here to guide us in truth and remind us of everything that Jesus taught us. It's by the work of the Spirit that we can learn to obey Jesus. For Jesus tells us in this scripture, if you love me, you will keep my commands. The Spirit of truth is the very presence of God within us, helping us to live as God wants. And it's important that we actively choose to open ourselves to God if we want to see the Spirit working within us, and so that we don't miss out on the miracles of what the Spirit of truth can do in our lives. When doing this, the Spirit takes the things of God and translates, turns them into a language that our hearts can understand. Even though we may not know the will of God in any given situation, the Spirit does. And through faith, we can connect with the Spirit and the Spirit's power each and every day. In the big things and in the little things, the Spirit motivates us to confidently do by faith what will honor God and what will reveal our love for our triune God and for others. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit's power is released in your life in quiet, unassuming ways that you may not even be aware of. The Holy Spirit often nudges us with a quiet whisper, prompting us throughout our daily living. And these nudges, these prompts, this divine guidance makes a difference in our personal stories. And everyone has a story. Now you may think, I don't have a dramatic testimony. Nothing exciting has ever happened to me. Well, I encourage you to rethink that. Jesus thought you were special enough that he endured the cross and to dwell in you with the Holy Spirit. God created you, so you have significance. And so does your story, because your story is the story of the Trinity working inside you, and that makes it exciting, and that makes it important. Our stories are created by our experiences, our decisions, our rights and wrongs, dislikes and likes, the people we spend time with, events we attend, and things that we do. God's Spirit lives inside each of us from the moment we first trusted in Christ. And Spirit-filled people are capable of so much more than we could ever give them credit for. The Spirit knows us at our very depth. And whatever we are capable of, the Spirit will awaken in us. We each have talents. We each have gifts. And the Spirit of life will nurture them and inspire us to share them. In an incredible form of loving, kindness, and faithfulness, God reaches down and makes a difference in our lives. The Holy One sent Jesus and then sent the Spirit of truth to counsel us when Jesus left. And this was done out of love, out of pure love. The Spirit came to live in us and empower our lives so that we can make a difference. The Spirit affects and changes our thoughts, and we begin to make godly decisions, Our creativity is enabled. We grow in wisdom and discernment. We meet people that God has put into our lives, building bridges between people, opening doors, and making us one. And life takes on a completely different direction. You see, the Holy Spirit is the difference maker. And when the Spirit changes your life, makes a difference in you, you don't lose your personality characteristics, but instead they are put into effective use in God's service. The Spirit is the ultimate guide, leading the way, going before us, helping conquer obstacles, opening understanding, and making things more clear. And when we're on a path not leading in the right direction, and we suddenly take that alternate route, the Spirit is guiding us. The Spirit is helping rewrite the ending of that situation in that chapter of our life. Your story is the unique way you get to understand what God has done for you and how the Holy Spirit has guided and helped you change from the inside out, harvesting the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as we read in Galatians 5. Now, these are not the works of the flesh. They are products of the Spirit's presence in our lives. And only you can share what God has done and is doing in you. But it also requires knowing your story and understanding what your story is to this chapter in your life. It's reflecting on your story that when we do so, you are forced to organize and to analyze what the Trinity has done in your life. And as you take time to organize and analyze, you gain a whole new insight. And it gets worked into your story in a whole new way, in a new and refreshing way. I read this question, and it was a plot changer in my story for sure. And it said, what would it feel like to see God change someone's life through your story? And I'll tell you, it opened my mind and it grew my willingness to not only meditate on what my story is, but to share it every time I get the chance. We never know how God will use our story, our experiences, to help others. Nor may we ever see that impact. But what matters most is that God does. Someone, multiple someones, can gain understanding, motivation, and certainly inspiration when you are ready to share your story with them. Now, taking risks is part of sharing our story. We wonder what people will think of us. We wonder if they'll still respect us, if they'll judge us, if they'll still want to associate with us. And it's important to know that we aren't alone in those thoughts, those worries. You see, the apostles faced the same risks and in a very, very different society. And I caution you, our world is definitely a new one. And now it has social media. And that social media is an ever-increasing focus for many people. Even more during this unprecedented time of social distancing, as people are turning to other options to fulfill their need for connectedness. Every time you do something on social media, you are sharing your story. Is it your true story? Are your shares and likes really the way you feel? Or are they just something that's going with the flow, being a part of the crowd, so to speak? To have the Holy Spirit is to have Jesus himself and knowing that you are loved, because you have your own identity in Christ. The Spirit has been active among people from the beginning of time, but after Pentecost, the Spirit came to live in all believers. Many people are unaware of the Holy Spirit's activities, but for those who hear Christ's words and understand the Spirit's power, well, we gain a whole new way to look at life. The Spirit prompts us so that the work of God on earth might be displayed through our living. We have free will. Absolutely, we have free will. And we will make mistakes. We will sin. And we will have wrongs done to us. And God has the desire and the ability to take what happens and turn it into good. Wherever there's a significant change in a person's life, there will be conflict between people. Just try raising a teenager. Try aiding an aging relative who is determined not to let go of their independence. But through conflict comes growth. And these changes spur spiritual growth. And with spiritual growth comes a change in attitudes, in behaviors, and definitely in the stories we share. Telling our unique stories of what God has done in our lives will draw opposition, sometimes from the people that are closest to us, people that we never expected that opposition to come from, believers or not. Because we have each a unique and personal connection with the Trinity. But as believers, we know, well, hopefully we do, because we know whose we are. We know that the Spirit is within us, helping author our unique story about how our relationship with God came to be and continues to grow. And that is such an amazing and wonderful gift in life. At no time do we know the complete story of what God is doing in our lives. It's always developing until the last moment of earthly life. At that time, God is still working out a wonderful story in your life, and it reaches its climax only when we enter into glory. Everyone has a story that is ever-changing, ever-growing, ever-evolving. And there's times of celebration, times of grieving, there's times of drama, times of comedy, and times of inspiration. Have you opened yourself to the Spirit within your personal story? Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Well, amazing and loving God, in these strange and challenging times we are facing, it can be hard to fathom that you are with us in each breath we take. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to worry. And it's certainly easy to let our negative thoughts take a priority in our living. And so, dear God, we are thankful that you have sent the Spirit of Truth to abide in us, to guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions. We are so blessed to know that we do not walk alone, that you are with us each step of our journey, changing our story as we live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So now we have some announcements. The COVID wall If you haven't sent something in to us, please take some time to share something with us, whether it's a prayer, a writing, a picture, a drawing. Whatever it is that you feel will add hope and inspiration to this wall of prayer and comfort. If you've sent something in and want to send an additional item, that would be wonderful. Things are changing daily, and so then are our thoughts and focuses. The other item is financial. Please continue to be aware of the financial needs of the Ministry of Christ here at Grace. Your support will help keep our ministry strong as we move through this time and throughout the balance of the year. Well, our worship time is nearing a close, and I invite you to join in our final hymn. This hymn is a wonderful hymn of the Christian faith that helps remind us that we never walk alone and that we are called to serve each day. It's hymn number 120 in Voices United, and it's titled, O Jesus, I Have Promised. As you go into this week ahead, may you take time to reflect upon your story, and more importantly, the spirit within your story. May you go believing that all things are possible with the love of God, with the light of Christ, and with the living power of the Holy Spirit within you. Go in peace. Amen. Well, it's been wonderful to share in worship this morning. Please join us in our choral blessing as our worship draws to an end.